Beginning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary of Ma'am Lois by Rabbi Shmuel Yushalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for any of our hundreds of Torah Shiurim lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. And also may the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. This is Shir number 39, and we are holding in chapter 75, pasuk 8. Ki Elokim shofet zeh yashpil b'zeh yorim. For Hashem is judge, He puts down one and lifts up another. For Hashem is judge who patterns the world, He puts down one man and lifts up another. So how can any man himself, the recipient of divine influence, be haughty before Hashem? As the Torah says, and you will say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But you will remember that Hashem your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. And this also pertains to the future, when He will put down the nations that press down upon Israel, and He will lift up the people of Israel. Our sages expound, nor from the wilderness comes the elevation. Said Rabbi Menachem, everywhere else in the Torah, Horim means mountains. Here it means being elevated. No elevation is actually involved in the acquisition of wealth. What Hashem does is takes away possessions from this one to give to that one. As it says, for Hashem is judge. He puts down one and lifts up another. Indeed, that is the reason possessions are called nechnasim. They are gathered, nechasim, from this one and taken to that one. Coins are called zuzim because they are constantly moving from one to another. Funds are mammon because counting them, mammon, is meaningless since they depart so rapidly. Cash is mo'os, a contraction of ma'ale'es, what a short time, for it remains only for the moment. Thus Chanah said in her prayer, Hashem kills and Hashem gives life. He brings down to the grave and brings up. Hashem makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and raises up. A pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. He brings to this one and elevates that one. Thus it is related about Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. He died, his spirit departed, and then he returned to life. What did you see? His father asked him. I saw an upside down world. Those on high are below, and those below are on high. You have seen the true world, his father said. The Chachamim also said, this world is likened to a water wheel in a garden. The earthenware vessels at the bottom rise full, and those at the top descend empty. Likewise, not all who are rich today are rich tomorrow, and not all who are poor today are poor tomorrow. Why is this so? For this wheel actually exists in the world. A person may be elevated in one of three ways. Either he is acquainted with the king, or he is a merchant trading in goods, or he is wise. Hence the singer says, for neither from the progeny of Mamotzi of kings is he, nor from merchandise Mimarov as to exchange your merchandise Mimarovcho, a pasuk that's found in Yecheskel, nor from speech Midbor, the power of speech, as in the speech of your mouth Midborecha is comely, a pasuk that's found in Shir HaShir. In a similar sense, the singer refers to the three qualities that bring honor to a person: wealth, high birth, and Torah achievement. Lineage is called Motze, literally issue. Wealth is called Marv, as in they traded the persons of men and vessels of brass for your merchandise. Pasuk found in Yecheskel. Wisdom is called Midbor, in the sense of speech, Dibor, as it says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth, a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. The mouth proclaims a man's wisdom. Accordingly, the singer says here that none of these things is any reason to be haughty, even if one possesses all three of these qualities, for Hashem is judge. He puts down one and lifts up another. The essential thing is to devote oneself to the performance of mitzvah. To be upright in one's business dealings hence earns people's confidence, and to be beloved by all who see and hear us. Another interpretation says a nation's prosperity does not depend on whether its leaders stem from the east or from the west or come from the wilderness. For all good and bad things stem from Hashem, who dwells in the ancient heavens of heavens. He puts down one and lifts up another in accordance with their deeds. Therefore he is the one whom it is proper to fear. The present psukim may also be explained by means of a parable. Three drifters wagered a rich man that they could cross the ocean in a canoe. It was agreed that they should succeed, he would pay them a huge sum of money. Rash as they were, they immediately carried out their plan and started out in three canoes. They braved many storms until one day two of the canoes capsized and the men in them were barely saved. The third canoe continued on its way and made it across. When the man came to collect the prize money, however, the rich man refused to pay him. If all three canoes had made it across, said he, I would have concluded that the achievement was due to your great skill, and you would have earned the reward. But now that two of the canoes sank, the survival of the remaining canoe was a miracle. Thus the singer says, you did not become rich because you ventured forth to the east and to the west on business. For one does not become rich just by embarking on a ship to go east or west, or by crossing deserts and exploring mountains. A man is not elevated because of such things. Rather, it is that Hashem takes possessions from this one and gives to that one, as it says, for Hashem is judge. He puts down one and lifts up another. If all who ventured across oceans and deserts were wealthy, I would say that endeavor always brings success. But we see that men can do everything within their power, yet the money will go to someone who did not strive and did not toil. This shows that if Hashem wants one to be rich, he will become rich even if he stays home all the time. Pasuk test, Pasuk 9. Ki hois biyad Hashem v'yayin chomar mole mesech v'yager mize ach shemoreho yimtzu yishtu kol vishay oretz. For in the hand of Hashem there is a cup with strong foaming wine. It is full of mixture and overflows from it, and he pours out of the same. Only its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink. Having declared that Hashem puts down one and lifts up another, the singer now describes how this comes about. In the hand of Hashem there is a cup with strong wine that overflows. It is full of mixture with gall and wormwood, as found in Chumash Devarim, this pasuk, and so potent that it pours out over the side. All the wicked of the earth will drain and drink the dregs of it. Israel will not drink. Thus the Talmud says, for in the hand of Hashem there is a cup. One might suppose there are many kinds of wine. So it says, with strong wine it is full of mixture. One might suppose it is close to becoming sour. So it says, chomer, fine old wine. This represents one of the four cups of retribution that Hashem will cause the nations to drink in the future. The people of the flood generation drank of the same bitter drop as did the bubble generation. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah, Paro and his army, Sisera and all of his hordes, Nebuchadnezzar and all of his army, and Sancheriv and his legions. Some explain that Yain Chomer means murky wine, as in water, great and turbulent, a pasuk that's found in Habakkuk. This cup of wine is so full of mixture that it foams and overflows on all sides, as in like water that is poured down a deep place, a pasuk that's brought down in Micha. Some say the singer informs us that the abundant good enjoyed by the wicked in this world is merely a remnant of the good that awaits the righteous in the world to come. The good is thus likened to a cup full of wine that overflows on both sides. The wicked only partake of the overflowing foam. If that much is bestowed upon by those who transgress his will, assuredly those who fulfill his will are to partake abundantly of his good. The singer describes the cup of bitterness that awaits the wicked. It contains four ingredients. There is wine, which gets one drunk. It is not simply wine, but turbid wine, chamar, like silk. It is full and a mixture of terrible components. When the evildoer gets drunk on this wine, he will stagger all over and fall. Overflows from it. its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink, even as Israel had drunk to the dregs the deep bowl of staggering. Pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. The singer speaks about the good that Hashem bestows upon human beings, comparing it to a full cup foaming with strong wine, yet it also contains dregs. Although Hashem keeps pouring good wine from the cup, it contains dregs that the wicked drain and drink. In other words, they have only themselves to blame for drinking the dregs. They corrupted their ways and became unworthy of savoring the excellent wine. Hence it says, "For in the hand of Hashem there is a cup with strong foaming wine, the good wine." Yet despite the fact that Hashem keeps supplying wine from this cup, it is full of mixture, and he pours out of the same cup. Its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink, because they are not worthy of drinking the good wine. The people of Israel have already drunk from this cup during their exile, as it says in Yeshayahu, "You have drunk to the dregs the deep bowl of staggering, and the ingathering of the exiles, the wicked will drink from it." Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Gani agid la'olam azamra lelehei Yaakov, but as for me, I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov. Speaking for all of Israel, the singer now says, but as for me, I will not drink of this cup, I will declare forever regarding this vengeance. They will be afflicted, and I will be telling about it forever after. It will never be forgotten from the lips of my descendants. Indeed, I will do more. I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov about how the Jewish people did not give up hope in exile, and that Hashem exacted my vengeance. I address the madmen. I tell them, do not become mad, and they do not heed my words. But I will not let this stop me from continuing to declare and to affirm forever. I myself will be content with little, and I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov, who teaches the heart to be content with little, with bread to eat and clothing to wear. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. David refers to the Jewish people who in all generations sing praises. He says, when they sing these psalms, it will be reckoned as if myself were forever declaring them, as if I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov. Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'chol karnei rishoyim magadeya toimam no karnoi tzadik. All the horns of the wicked will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be exalted. After having turned to the wicked with admonition, do not raise the horn, do not raise your horn on high, as we learned in earlier psukim, two horns, one against God and one against Israel. The singer says, as for me, all the horns of the wicked will I cut off. I will shear them off totally. But the horns of the righteous will be exalted, so that no kingdom other than the kingdom of Israel will remain. Thus the Torah says concerning the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the pasuk that's found in Daniel, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and the kingdom will not be left to another people. Another interpretation is based on the following teaching of our sages. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Yerushalayim. When our feet stand firm in war, it is in the merit of the gates of excellence in halacha. It is because the Torah is studied. Thus the singer says here, but as for me, I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov, that is, study Torah. Then all the horns of the wicked will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be exalted. This also refers to the views of the wicked. They will perish, be proven false, but the horns of the righteous man, the ways of the Messianic king, will be exalted. He will teach understanding to all mankind. All the horns of the wicked Edom, Roman Empire, will I cut off, as it says, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of the people of Israel. Then the horns of the righteous one of the world will be exalted. Our sages expound, 10 horns have God given to Israel. The horn of Avram, the horn of Yitzchak, and the horn of Moshe, the horn of prophecy, the horn of Torah, the horn of the priesthood, the horn of the Levitate, the horn of Yerushalayim, and the horn of Yosef. Some say also the horn of Israel. When the horn of Israel is raised, it will cut off the horns of the idolatrous nations. Some explain that a singer has, as if placed his words into the mouth of uprightness. It is as if uprightness is some abstract being which speaks to us about the virtue of uprightness and about the evil of wickedness. It says, suppose I, uprightness, were to move from my firm stand and topple, then I, uprightness, would rule that the earth and all its inhabitants melt. For I am the pillar upon which the earth and its inhabitants are firmly supported. I, uprightness, say to the madman not to go mad. Implanted in every soul is a core love of justice, and the evildoer is distressed by his conscience. Therefore I said to the wicked, do not raise the horn, do not raise your horn on high, do not speak insolence with a haughty neck. Having spoken figuratively of a cup over which one makes a blessing, uprightness says, I will declare forever the mighty acts of God. I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov. They should proclaim uprightness and justice to the children of men. They should herald his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Uprightness says further, all the horns of the wicked will I cut off. By means of the good inclination implanted in every person, people will come to recognize the glory of Hashem and his greatness. As a result, the horns of the righteous will be exalted. The excellence and prestige of the righteous will be enhanced. Uprightness addresses these words to the wicked. For their own good, let them abandon the path of evil and return to God in sincere repentance. Chapter 76, Pasuk 1. Lamnetzeach ben Ginos Mizmor LaOsof Shir. For the conductor in the Ginos, the psalm of Asaf, a song. Asaf also composed the present psalm about the future redemption and Hashem's vengeance upon the enemies of Israel. Some say that it refers to the defeat of Sancheriv in the days of Chizkiyahu, for we find no other enemy having met his downfall in Yerushalayim. With the interpretation that the pasuk speaks of Chizkiyahu and the defeat of Sancheriv, it means that Asaf composed this psalm instead of Chizkiyahu. For after the destruction of Sancheriv and his armies, Chizkiyahu himself did not break out into song until the earth opened its mouth and chanted a song for him. As it says, from the uppermost part of the earth have we heard songs of praise, a pasuk found in Yeshayahu. Accordingly, Asaf also chanted a song for him. Some say the psalm alludes to an enemy who besieged Jerusalem, but was overwhelmed in battle. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Noida b'Yehuda, Elohim b'Yisrael, Godol Shemo. Hashem is known Yehuda, his name is great in Israel. At the future redemption, it will come true that God is known in Yehuda. His name is great in Israel. The power of God will be especially marked in the tribe of Yehuda, in contrast with his condition in exile of being scattered among the nations. Although the tribe of Benjamin is bound to the tribe of Yehuda, by virtue of its greater numbers and excellence, is more important than any of the other tribes. Israel also refers here more specifically to the 10 tribes of the Israelite kingdom. Upon their return, his name will also be great among them. A different interpretation says, when originally the 10 tribes were exiled, and the tribes of Yehuda and Benjamin remained in the land of Israel, those tribes objected to what seemed like divine favoritism. They said that the tribes of Yehuda and Benjamin were not exiled because God's abode, the Holy Temple, was located in their territory. They were his host. Now that Yehuda and Benjamin are also exiled, they see that no favoritism was involved. With the interpretation that the present psalm refers to King Chizkiyahu, the Torah says, what is the reason that God is known in Yehuda? Why was there the miraculous deliverance, the destruction of Sancheriv's army at the gates of Yerushalayim that demonstrated the greatness of God's concern for the tribe of Yehuda? For his, Chizkiyahu's name is great in Israel. According to the Talmud, Chizkiyahu thrust a sword into the house of study and proclaimed that whoever did not devote himself to Torah study should be pierced by the sword. Following the miracle performed for Chizkiyahu, the likes of which God had not performed to any prophet, the name of Hashem was acclaimed throughout the world. As it says, and many brought tribute to the Lord in Yerushalayim and gifts to Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda, so that henceforth he was magnified in the eyes of all nations, a pasuk that's found in Divrei Hayamim. Hence too, The allusion is to God's renown in Yehuda and in the whole world. His principal renown, however, was among the Jewish people. His name is great in Israel. Anyone who challenges the kingship of the house of David challenges the divine presence, as it were, and vice versa. Anyone who acknowledges the kingship of the house of David, it is as if he acknowledges the divine presence. Thus the singer says here, God is known in Yehuda, and acknowledging the tribe of Yehuda, the name of God becomes renowned. Moreover, through the kingship of the house of David, his name is great in Israel. God is known in Yehuda when he takes revenge upon the enemies of Israel. As it says, Hashem has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Some say that the pasuk refers to Daniel going down into the lion's den and being spared. Our sages expound, Nachshon, the son of Aminadab, the prince of the tribe of Yehuda, was the first to leap into the sea of Suf, and he was thus worthy that kingship should arise from him. Accordingly, Moshe said to Hashem, henceforth, whenever you act with loving kindness towards the tribe of Yehuda, it is as if you act with loving kindness towards all of Israel. Similarly, the singer says here, Hashem is known in Yehuda, his name is great in Israel. Another interpretation is based on the following teaching of our sages. When Gog and Magog will come to wage war against Yerushalayim, they will form an alliance with the tribe of Yehuda. But upon their arrival in Yerushalayim, the warriors of Yehuda will rise up and kill the kings of Gog and Magog. The people of Yerushalayim will then come forth to defeat the enemy. Accordingly, it says here, at first God is known in Yehuda. Subsequently, his name is great in Israel. The present psalm is recited on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Thus, our sages teach, Hashem is known in Yehuda. When? It means at the time when the special tabernacle, the Sukkot, is established. As you said, on that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Amos. The Rambam writes that the site of the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, was known to the nation from ancient times, as it says in Bereishis, and Avram called the name of the place Adonai Yireh. However, its location was not specified in the Torah, which only speaks of it by allusion, lest nations fight over it. The site was rejuvenated at the close of King David's life, when it became generally known that the Beis Hamikdash was to be located in the land portion of Yehuda. Once Hashem's chosen site was revealed, there his name was exalted. Pasuk Gimel. Vayi b'shalim suko umonoso b'tzion. His tabernacle will be set in Shalim, and his dwelling place in Tzion. Hashem's house will be in Tzion. At that time, Hashem will spread his cloud in Yerushalayim, as it says, his tabernacle is set in Shalim. Thus, our Chachamim commented, your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. The pasuk that's found in the Chumash Vayikra, that is the clouds of glory, as it says, and Hashem will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. And the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, and there will be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a cover from rain. When will his tabernacle be in Shalem? When will the full Shalem redemption take place? All wars end and peace prevail. The full redemption will come when his dwelling place is in Zion. For as the Torah goes on to explain, there he broke the fiery shafts of the bow, the shield, and the sword, and the battle forever. That's going to be found in our next pasuk. This will be just read. In Yerushalayim proper, where the masses lived, his dwelling place was haphazard. But in Zion, where the Kohanim priests had their homes, the royal palace was located, and where the judges of the Sanhedrin resided, there is to be his permanent dwelling place. Our sages teach Hashem kept a tabernacle in Yerushalayim since the beginning of the creation of the world. There he prayed, as it were, may it be the will before me that my children act in accordance with my will, so I should not destroy my holy temple. When transgression subsequently resulted in its destruction, the Torah writes, as the pasuk says in Eichon, and he has stripped his tabernacle as if it were a garden. Ever since the Beis Hamikdash lies destroyed, he continues to say, may it be the will before me to destroy the evil inclination which causes my children to sin. May they repent, and I will then bring near the building of the third Beis Hamikdash. When will Hashem be known in Yehudim, and his name be great in Israel? Then the Shekhinah will dwell in Shalem and in Sion. A subtle interpretation says, when the Jewish people will dwell in peace among themselves, his dwelling place will be in Sion, and he will then break the fiery shafts of the bow. That is to say, no people or tongue will then prevail against them. Pasuk Dalet. Shama Shibar Rishpe Koshes Mogen Vecherev Mechamet Selah. There he broke the fiery shafts of the bow, the shield and the sword, and the battle Selah. There in Yerushalayim he broke the fiery shafts of the bow, and in the future he will break up the missiles that cause fires and kill. This alludes to a burning liquid that cannot be extinguished. Similarly, it says, sharpened arrows of the mighty with coals of the broomwood. The pasuk is found later on in Sefer Tehillim. Probably, it refers to poisoned grass whose fluids are smeared on the arrows as hunters will do. The Torah conveys that in the future, Hashem will break up all weapons, among them the fiery shafts of the bow, the shield and the sword, and the battle gear of all those enemies who will come armed against Yerushalayim. As it says, behold, the day of Hashem comes. Then Hashem will go out and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, a pasuk that is found in Zechariah. Similarly, the prophet Yechezkel said in his prophecy, and it will come to pass on that day when Gog will come against the land of Israel, that my fury will glare out, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel will go forth and will set fire to the weapons and burn them, both shield and buckler, bows and arrows, and the staffs and the spears. Again, this is found in Sefer Yechezkel. Selah, the destruction of all weapons will be forever. They will never again come to wage war against Yerushalayim. When they will put aside all the implements of war and recognize the kingdom of Hashem, his tabernacle will be at peace, Shalem, and his dwelling place in Sion. Some translate as Rishpei Esh, as arrows from a flying bow, a fast-moving army. Another interpretation says, after Hashem made known the site of the Beis Hamikdash, there he broke the fiery shafts of the bow. King David gathered funds from every tribe for the building of the Beis Hamikdash, so it should not become the portion of any single tribe. Thereby he preempted wars among the tribes, as otherwise each tribe might have insisted that the Beis Hamikdash be located on its land portion. Pasuk 5. Naor ato adir maharare toref. Enlighten are you more mighty than the mountains of prey. A number of different meanings may be ascribed to Naor. When understood as a form of the root meaning to curse, the corresponding interpretation of the pasuk says, in the future Hashem will put on the garment of malediction and curse the nations. You who curse are more mighty than the mountains of prey. You are more powerful than the immense nations that prey on the people of Israel to devour them. Then again, Naor is related to Or, light. Your glory will become known in the future when it will be revealed in the bright light of Israel, for Israel will be more mighty than the mountains, mightier than the other nations, like a lion that comes out of the mountains of prey to devour, so will you devour all the enemies. The mountains from where the lions emerge to kill prey are personified here as mountains of prey. The Targum translates Naor as Nora, meaning awesome, awful. Similarly, we find this kind of transposition in Kesef, Keves, both mean sheep. With the interpretation that the present psalm is speaking about the war of Gog and Magog, the singer says to Mount Zion, enlighten are you, O Mount Zion, through the light that will illuminate the face of the Mashiach. You are more awesome than the mountains of the predatory beasts, the awesome nations. None of them will have found their hands to wage war against Yerushalayim in that future time. Alternatively, you curse, Hashem will curse and damn the enemies of Israel. He will sweep Noar, the world clean of all enemies. You are more mighty than the giant predators who resemble high mountains. Against you their might is invisible, because you watch over us a sheep among 70 wolves, and save us from the mountains of prey. Your power and your loving kindness towards us becomes known more than ever. With the interpretation that the present psalm refers to the defeat of Sanherib, the singer likens his defeat to a lion coming out from the mountains of prey to devour. Hashem is the lion, and since this happened at night, the singer says, illuminated are you, there is no darkness before you. You are more mighty than the mountains of prey who came on Mount Zion to devour. Yeshayahu employed similar imagery, as it says, like the lion and the young lion roaring on their prey. Pasuk is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. The downfall of Sanherib took place at night. The night did not make it too dark for you to go to the camp of Sanherib to cause their downfall. Please turn tape over to side B. Pasuk Vav, Eshtolulu Abirei Lev Nomush Nosam Lo Motsu Chol Anshei Chal Yedehem. The stout-hearted are bereft of sense, they sleep their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. All the stout-hearted nations who then gather to annihilate Israel will be bereft of strength. They will be powerless as if asleep. None of the men of might found their hands to wage war against the Jewish people. Pasuk Zayin, Migaroscha lehe Yaakov nirdom berecha vesus. At your rebuke, O Hashem of Yaakov, they are cast into a dead sleep, the riders and also the horses. Having said they sleep their sleep in the previous pasuk, the singer says, at your rebuke, O Hashem, O Yaakov, they are cast into a dead sleep, the riders and also the horses. This refers to Gog and Magog, the king and the chieftain of Meshech and Tubal, as found in Yechezkel. Thus the singer says here, at your rebuke, O Hashem of Yaakov, they are cast into a dead sleep, the riders and also the horses, which corresponds to what the Torah says elsewhere. Their flesh will consume away while they stand upon their feet, the Pasuk in Zechariah. The wonder will be so very great that even the riders and also the horses will be cast into a deep sleep. Usually horses sleep lightly, a span of about 60 breaths. This alludes to the future redemption. We will merit that the descendants of Esau will not have found their hands to wage war against Israel. The reason is that they will be overcome by dread at your rebuke, O Hashem of Yaakov, and the merit of Yaakov's Torah study. As it says in Bereishis, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, but the hands are the hands of Esau. When the voice is the voice of Yaakov studying Torah, then the hands are not the hands of Esav. Esav himself is deprived of his physical prowess. His hands are given to Yaakov. Versus the hands of Yaakov are the hands of Esav. With the interpretation that the psalm is speaking about the downfall of Sanherib, the singer says, the stout-hearted are bereft of sense. Men of great strength sleep their sleep, an allusion to the sleep that Hashem cast upon the Assyrian camp, and they all died in their sleep. Nor did the Israelites ever find the horses when next morning they came into the enemy camp. The singer conveys that the Assyrian camp did not expect anything to happen. That night they slept their sleep. When next morning the Israelites fell upon the Assyrians inside the camp, none of the men of might found their hands. It was as if they had lost their hands and could not defend themselves. against the approaching predator. Some read Eshtolalu as plunder their spoils, Shlolam, the Assyrian enemy, was deprived of its plunder. Others read Eshtolel as connoting madness, as in he leads counselors away, bereft of counsel. A pasuk that's found in Iyov. The army of Sancheirah became demented. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Ato Nora, Ato Miyamu, Lefanecho, Me'oz, Lepecho. You, yes, you are awesome, and who can stand before you when once you are wrathful? It is not surprising that at your rebuke they are cast into a dead sleep, the riders and also the horses. For you, yes, you are awesome, and who can stand before you when you are wrathful? When you rebuke them with your wrath, they could not stand before you, and the dead sleep fell upon them. Possibly this alludes to the splitting of the Sea of Suf, when with the blast of your wrath the waters were piled up. Pasuk that is found in Chumash Shemos. Then the Egyptians could not stand up before you. With the interpretation that the singer refers to the war of Gog and Magog in Messianic times, he says, you, yes, you are awesome to everyone. Your kingship will then be welcomed by everyone, as it says, and Hashem will be king over all the earth. A pasuk in Zechariah. Who can stand before you once you are wrathful, for it is an eternal anger? Speaking about the downfall of Sancheirah, the singer goes on to say, ever since you caused judgments to be heard from heaven against Sancheirah, the earth that feared was now still. It's a puzzle that we're going to learn right now in 1 minute. Ever since you established Assyria to be the rod of your wrath, who can stand before you? No kingdom has been able to stand before him ever since his wrath was kindled. Pasuk Tes. Mishamayim hishmato din eretz yorav v'shakotav. You caused judgment to be heard from heaven, the earth feared and was still. The singer continues, the judgment that you executed upon them was heard from heaven, as it says, and I will contend with him by pestilence and by blood, and I will rain down upon him and upon his bands and upon the many peoples that are with him a torrential rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone, a pasuk in Yechezkel. Therefore the earth, the peoples on earth, feared you and were still. They all remained dumbfounded where they lived. It would never again enter their minds to go up against Yerushalayim. You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. You made it known that you would execute judgment, so the earth feared and was still. The people of the earth took heed, and as a result, Hashem will relent of the evil, a pasuk that is found in Yirmiyahu. As our sages have expounded, there's another pasuk found in Iyov that says, who teaches like him? He shows the way to repentance. With the interpretation that the singer refers to the downfall of Sancheirah, he says, you will cause judgment to be heard from the heaven at the time that Sancheirah comes against Sion, when you will have thus championed the cause of your people against this the oppressor, the earth feared and was still. The people of the earth who at first were afraid of him will now be calmed. Our sages relate the present pasuk to the Jewish people standing before God at Mount Sinai. They ask, if it feared, why was it still? And if it was still, why did it fear? At first, before the Jews said, we shall do and we shall hear, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. The earth feared that they would not accept the Torah, and so the world would turn back to its primal elements. Sohu Vavohu was found in Chumash Bereishis. But they said, we shall do and we shall hear, and it was still. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10, Bekum la mishpat elhim lo shia kol anvei eretzel. When Hashem arises to pass judgment to save all the humble of the earth Sela. The ultimate purpose of the judgment that Hashem imposed upon the adversary nations was to save Israel. His intent was not specifically to inflict punishment, for no evil thing descends from heaven. Another reading says, all this will happen. It will happen when Hashem arises to pass judgment to save all the humble of the earth. A different interpretation is based on the Torah having said in the Song of the Sea, the Lord is a man of war, as found in Chumash Shemos. At the very moment that Hashem wages war against his adversaries, he continues his attribute of mercy towards his human creatures. For his way is not as the way of the kings on earth. When they are engaged in the battle, they put away all other activities, for they do not have the strength for everything. Accordingly, the singer says, even when Hashem arises to pass judgment, by waging war upon his adversaries. At the same time, he also rises to save all the humble of the earth. He extends mercy to his creations. Pasuk Yudal, Pasuk 11. Ki chamas Adam todech ko she'eris chemos tachkor. Surely the raging of man will acknowledge you, the residue of wrath you will gird on. After they will have acknowledged that they committed iniquity, and you punish them by your raging to wrath, the residue of wrath you will gird on, you will restrain the rest of your wrath and keep it from getting out. Hashem thus assures the other nations that they will not be punished, provided they do not march against Yerushalayim. Some say the pasuk refers to the raging passions in man. The evil inclination itself will acknowledge you once man has elevated himself spiritually. An allusion to this is represented by the galbanum resin, which, despite its pungent and unpleasant odor, was included in the spice offering in the Beis Hamikdash. We are to elevate the aroma of our deeds, including those that stem from our most base powers, so that altogether they will constitute a spice offering before Hashem. Thus our sages expound, there are any number of harshly bitter things in the world, and you, man, sweeten them. If this is so for the termis plant, which after cooking is edible, how much more so for the physical passion over which you can exercise control? The Torah is also referring to the end of days when man will no longer raise a sword against his fellow man, passage that's found in Yeshayahu, and even the predatory animals will cease to devour. They will not hurt nor destroy in all the mountain of my sanctuary, passage that's found in Yeshayahu. Hence the singer says here, the raging of man, the nations of the world, will acknowledge you. They too will be glad at the deliverance of the humble of the earth. For all wars will cease, and so will all raging of man against man. Even the residue of wrath in the animal kingdom will cease. A different reading says, if a man will praise you in the midst of his suffering, the residue of wrath you will gird on. The anger in you that was about to break out, you will restrain and shut down. The prophet says similarly, O Hashem, I will acknowledge you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me, apostling Yeshayahu again, because I praised you. For my suffering, you will comfort me. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Nidru v'shalmu l'Hashem Eloheichem kol svivav yovilu shai l'amore. Vow and pay to Hashem your God, let all who are around about him bring gifts to him who is most awesome. Now the singer turns to the people of Israel and he says to them, vow and pay your vow to Hashem your God when you find yourselves in a time of trouble. Make vows to God as Yaakov had done, as found in Chumash Bereishis. Then after you will emerge successfully, fulfill your vow to Hashem. It is fitting that you should pay up your vows, for all the nations around about will bring gifts to a God who is called Mora, most awesome. As it says in Yeshayahu, he is your dread. The Medrash expounds, whosoever makes a vow and pays it, he receives a reward for both making the vow and the payment. Whoever makes a vow and delays paying it brings death upon himself, as it says in the Chumash Devarim, for Hashem your God will require it of you. He will collect from you, not from your money. Some say the pasuk alludes to dispensing charity, and that donors may be classified into a number of types. One will give gladly and with a generous heart, another finds it hard to give because he is careful with his money, so he makes a vow to give and you must then honor it. There are also righteous individuals who do not make vows, yet give immediately. Hence the Torah says here, vow and pay to Hashem your God, but all who are around about him bring gifts to the most awesome without having made any vow. You children of Israel, you vow and pay to Hashem your God out of love, but all who are around him bring gifts to the most awesome out of fear. The pasuk begins in the second person and ends in the third person. It is commendable to dispense charity anonymously, but in order for the people to learn to give, vows to give are made in public. This makes the matter widely known. Hence the Torah says here, vow and pay to Hashem your God, but in such a way that all who are round about him bring gifts to him who is most awesome. Concerning Sancheriv, the singer says, from now on, you no longer need to bring tribute to Sancheriv, but to Hashem. Previously they were afraid of Sancheriv, but Hashem is the proper source of awe. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Yiftzor Ruach Nagidim Noro L'Malchei Oretz. He will cut off the spirit of princesses. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. Having said that they bring gifts to him who is most awesome, the singer continues by saying, he will cut off the haughty spirit of princesses. Hence he will be awesome to the kings of the earth, which refers to Gog and Magog. Another interpretation says, if you make a vow, Hashem will so arrange matters that the wishes of the donors will come to be realized. That is, he will cut off the spirit of the princesses. Just as cutting off the grapes from the vine is the final deed in tending a vineyard, so will Hashem bring them to an end. Now we go to chapter 77, pasuk 1. Lam netzeyach al yedisun la'osav mizmor, for the conductor for yedisun, a psalm of osav. This psalm was composed about the suffering that would come upon Israel in Golus, in exile. The word Yedisun is associated to thus, a decree. The singer laments the decrees and harsh judgments that afflict Israel. Yet, though he speaks of decrees and judgments and foul edicts, he does not come as one demanding and challenging. He speaks in the language of songs of praise. Some say that the singer refers to the new religions that came into being after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Their adherents issued harsh edicts to compel the Jewish people to abandon their faith. Because Israel's sins are washed clean through edicts and harsh judgments, the singer chants a psalm, a song of praise. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Koli el Elokim v'tzoka, Koli el Elokim v'hazin Eloi. I raise my voice to Hashem and cry aloud, I raise my voice to Hashem, O hear me. In ancient days I raised my voice and cried aloud to Hashem, to him alone and to no one else. Now too I raise my voice to you, and I plead, O hear me, because I do not turn to anyone else but you. It is fitting that you hear me. There are four reasons for accepting my plea. One, I raise my voice to Hashem. Can it be that he that planted the ear shall not hear? After all, I am not appealing to a man of flesh and blood. Two, I cry aloud, I scream in alarm. Three, I raise my voice to Hashem, that he may hear me. I plead my case wholly before you, and I rely only on what you will do to me. Four, I cry out to you in the day of my trouble. Two forms of prayer are indicated. One is loud response, as when we respond to the Kaddish, Amen. May his great name be blessed forever and to all eternity. The second is muted prayer. Regarding the first, the singer says, I raise my voice to Hashem and cry aloud. And regarding the second, he says, I raise my voice to Hashem, O hear me. I do not cry aloud on behalf of my personal needs, but to Hashem about what concerns you, so I plead that you hear me. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Yom Tzurasi Adonoi Derashti Yodi Laila Nigro Velo Sofug Me'ono Hinochem Nafshi. In the day of my trouble, I seek Hashem. My hand streams in the night without ceasing. My soul refuses to be comforted. In the day of my trouble, the afflictions of exile, I seek Hashem. Immense is my suffering. I lack the strength to survive it in any natural way. I seek Hashem. My wound oozes even the night without ceasing. I tell my heart words of solace, but my soul refuses to be comforted. These are all figurative expressions to convey the terrible condition of exile. Yet despite everything, indeed because of all this, I seek Hashem. For before him there is no barrier to bring about deliverance. Because I cry aloud in the day of my trouble, out of the immediacy of my suffering, I implore you to respond to my plea at once. I am not as one who comes with a complaint about a wrong he has suffered. I come as one who shrieks because enemies have set upon him to kill him. My hand streams in the night without ceasing. Due to my suffering in exile, my hand is so weak, it appears to have melted. An alternative interpretation is that hand refers to a location called Yad. As it were, this place has melted from the abundance of my tears. Tears usually bring relief from pain. It is different for me. My soul refuses to be comforted. Even in the night, when I thought that I would find some respite from my troubles, my hand streams without ceasing. There is no end to my tears, for my soul refuses to be comforted. A different reading says, in the day of my trouble, I seek Hashem. I try to find the place of concealment where to weep. When I am all alone in the night, my eyes stream tears without ceasing, for my soul refuses to be comforted. I suffer, but I suffer most when I remember, as we're going to learn in the next pasuk, the suffering of the Divine Presence on account of my suffering. As it says, I'll be with him in trouble. Pasuk that's found later on in Sefer Tehillim. When I am used upon this, my spirit faints, for that pain is forever. Selah. Pasuk 4. Eskru alikim ve'amoyo osicha v'sisatev ruchi selah. When I remember God, then I moan. When I muse upon this, my spirit faints. Selah. Despite the severity of my woes, I do not forget Hashem. On the contrary, when I remember Hashem, then I moan. My heart heaves within me. I muse upon this, and I pray with my lips, with my heart, and with my spirit. I beseech him with a bent form and a broken heart. It is as if my body had been wrapped in something and folded. I'm like a man whose spirit has sunk into submission, who sits wrapped within himself. Although I have sought Hashem, and my hand streams oozes in the night without ceasing, I will not cease to seek Hashem. I will remember Hashem and moan. I remind myself that Hashem is a just judge, and I moan, for I know that I alone am to blame for what is happening to me. I will moan and use harsh words against myself. My spirit will be faint forever because of my immense pain. Thus the singer indicates four things a man must do when he is wrecked by suffering. One, let him remember God, then let him moan. Attain a state of cleaving to God in his heart and soul. Let him pray with his lips and in his heart, moan, muse, and let him become submissive. Medrash says, when the people of Israel remember Hashem, they bring consolation to Hashem, and their inward parts heave. As it says, my beloved sent forth his hand from the portal, and my insides heaved for him, a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Pasuk 5. You hold fast my eyelids, I am troubled, crushed, and cannot speak. The singer depicts the anguish of exile. The suffering and pain do not let him sleep. You hold fast my eyelids, the protective coverings of the eyes, and they cannot close. I am troubled in spirit, stirred and dismayed, and I cannot speak. I cannot speak, and so cannot calm my ache. As it says, I will speak that I may find relief. I am troubled and cannot speak. I stay awake at night, absorbed in thought about my troubles, and in the morning I cannot speak. You hold fast my eyelids in exile. It is as if you have deprived us of Torah study, which is a healing for the eyes. Thus our sages teach, ever since the Jewish people have been exiled, that is the reason for the most severe neglect of Torah study. I'm troubled and crushed, and so I cannot speak. The substance of my speech, Torah study, has ceased from me. The singer says about himself that it is as if his soul is about to expire. Already you hold fast my eyelids, and my spirit too is crushed, so I can no longer even speak. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Kishafti yami mikedem shenos olamim. I have pondered the days of long ago, the years of ancient times. The singer depicts the descent of the Jewish people from the pinnacle of well-being to the depth of distress. I am beset by my present troubles. So I have pondered my condition in the days of long ago and reckoned the years of ancient times that passed over me since then. I thought of my once abundant physical well-being and the high level of my spiritual life. When I began to think of those days of well-being long ago, it seems to me they have lasted forever. Contrast this with Yaakov's words, "Few and woeful were the days of my life." When the soul is about to leave the body, all that ever happened to the person passes by his eyes. Similarly, the singer says here, "I pondered the days long ago. I thought of what transpired to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, and then I pondered all that happened the years of ancient times that followed." Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk 7, Eskaro Neginosi Balayla Im Nevavi Osicho Vayechapeis Ruchi. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I muse with my heart and my spirit searches. I ponder upon all this, and I call to remembrance my song in the night. I recall the immense joy that came over me when I played my lyre in the night, at night when the heart is free of the moans of the day, and as brothers I would muse with my heart. I converse with myself rather than with others. I would search with my spirit to discover whether the present exile will continue forever. When playing in the night, the singer would say, "I call to remember my song in the night. I remember those long ago days when I served Hashem through songs played in the night. As it says, I awake the dawn." I would muse with my heart and my spirit would search, will Hashem cast off forever? The singer says, "When thus I lay pondering on my bed of illness, I would recall the miracles that were performed in the days long ago. I would also remember the melodies and songs that I composed for those occasions. I would muse in my heart why the sun of my prosperity had set, and my spirit searched to explain why Hashem seems to have abandoned his people." Pasuk in Yechezkel. Pasuk 8. Hal olamim yiznach adonoi velo yosif virtzos ol. Will Hashem cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more? What was it that I sought in my spirit? It was to know, will Hashem cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more? Will He no longer continue to be with us as He was at the outset, to favor us and unreservedly to champion our cause? The singer concludes that this cannot be so for four different reasons. One is, as we'll learn now in Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9, Ha'ofes lo netzach chastoi gomar oime lidor v'dor. As His loving kindness ceases forever, does His promise end for all generations? Is it then possible to say about God that His power and loving kindness have ceased? Is He then like a man of flesh and blood of whom it might be said that His generosity ceased because He no longer had the money to provide assistance? Hashem only helped me for a limited time, not for all generations. So how can it be that His loving kindness has already been depleted and He can no longer act in my behalf? This is the second reason. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Hashochas chanos el im kofas bi'af rachamov selo. Has God forgotten the favor with grace? Has He in anger shut up His compassion, Selah? The third question is, has God forgotten the favor with grace? Can it be that He has forgotten to bestow grace and compassion? This cannot be, for there is no forgetfulness before the throne of glory. Has He in anger shut up His compassion forever? For that is not the way of Hashem. The attribute of loving kindness, as it says, "For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always angry." Pasuk found in Yeshayahu. Assuredly then Hashem will not cast off forever. The singer conveys that he has been talking to himself, not to others, for fear of the enemy. My spirit searched out the actions of God, and I asked, "Will Hashem cast off forever?" But He has said, "In the overflow of wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting loving kindness will I have mercy on you." A pasuk that's found in Yeshayahu. I said, "And He will He be favorable no more?" But it says, "Even them will I bring to the mountain of my sanctuary, and make them joyful in my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. Again, another pasuk found in Yeshayahu. I asked, has his loving kindness ceased forever? Does his promise end, and for all generations we shall remain in exile? How can that be when it says in Chumash Devarim, from there will Hashem, God, gather you? Has Hashem forgotten the favor with grace to cause the Shekhinah to dwell within us? How can this be when it says, I will dwell in the midst of you? A pasuk found in Zechariah. Has he in anger shut up his compassions? Does it not say in the contrary, but with great mercies will I gather you? Again, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Pasuk Yud Aleph, pasuk 11. The Omar Chalosi Hishanosi Min Elyon, and I say, it is my weakness that the right hand of the Most High could change, having made it clear that from God's side it cannot be that woes should last forever. The singer declares that he blames himself for his woes continuing. This stems from my weakness or sickness and its evil consequences. What is this weakness? It is that the right hand of the Most High could change. I'm guilty of making changes in the right hand of God. That is to say, I changed, transgressed the Torah, which was given by the right hand of Hashem, as it says in Chumash Devarim, from his right hand went a fiery law for them. There is no change on the part of God, heaven forfend. The change is on my part. What can this be compared? A father was in the habit of taking his food from his own plate and putting it on his son's plate. One day the son was indisposed, and the father transferred a bit of the son's portion to his own plate. What's the reason father has changed his mind today? The son asked, perplexed. I love you today as much as I always love you, the father responded, but I'm reducing your food because of your malady, lest it becomes worse. This resembles our situation, which today is much worse than it was in other times. However, this does not stem from any change in God's attributes, heaven forfend. It is due to my weakness, chalosi, my portion, nachlosi, that the right hand of the Most High would change. For if he were to increase our portion and improve our lot at this time, we would find ourselves diminished by it. A different reading relates chalosi to halal, a slain corpse. The corresponding interpretation reads, whenever I say that the exile will kill me, it is my death. I recall that the right hand of the Most High could change my condition miraculously, just as he performed all those miracles for me in the past and brought me out of early exiles, so will he also bring me out of the present exile. We will continue Mr. Shem in our next shir. We are learning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary of Ma'am Lois by Rabbi Shmuel Yushalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for any of our hundreds of Torah Shiurim lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. And also may the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. This is shir number 39, and we are holding in chapter 75, pasuk 8. Ki elakim shofet zeh yashpil b'zeh yorim. For Hashem is judge, he puts down one and lifts up another. For Hashem is judge who patterns the world, he puts down one man and lifts up another. So how can any man himself, the recipient of divine influence, be haughty before Hashem? As the Torah says, and you will say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But you will remember that Hashem your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devar. And this also pertains to the future, when he will put down the nations that press down upon Israel, and he will lift up the people of Israel. Our sages expound, nor from the wilderness comes the elevation. Said Rabbi Maimon, everywhere else in the Torah, Horeb means mountains. Here it means being elevated. No elevation is actually involved in the acquisition of wealth. What Hashem does is takes away possessions from this one to give to that one. As it says, for Hashem is judge. He puts down one and lifts up another. Indeed, that is the reason possessions are called nechnasim. They are gathered, nechasim, from this one and taken to that one. Coins are called zuzim because they are constantly moving from one to another. Funds are mammon because counting them, mana, is meaningless since they depart so rapidly. Cash is mo'os, a contraction of ma'ale eis, what a short time, for it remains only for the moment. Thus Chanah said in her prayer, Hashem kills and Hashem gives life. He brings down to the grave and brings up. Hashem makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and raises up, a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. He brings to this one and elevates that one. Thus it is related about Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Shul ben Levi. He died, his spirit departed, and then he returned to life. What did you see? His father asked him. I saw an upside down world. Those in high are below, and those below are in high. You have seen the true world, his father said. The Chachamim also said, this world is likened to a water wheel in a garden. The earthenware vessels at the bottom rise full, and those at the top descend empty. Likewise, not all who are rich today are rich tomorrow, and not all who are poor today are poor tomorrow. Why is this so? For this wheel actually exists in the world. A person may be elevated in one of three ways. Either he is acquainted with the king, or he is a merchant trading in goods, or he is wise. Hence the singer says, for neither from the progeny of Mamotzi of kings is he, nor from merchandise Mimarov, as to exchange your merchandise Mimarevcho, a pasuk that's found in Yecheskel, nor from speech Midbor, the power of speech, as in the speech of your mouth Midborecho is comely, a pasuk that's found in Shir Hashir. In a similar sense, the singer refers to the three qualities that bring honor to a person: wealth, high birth, and Torah achievement. Lineage is called motze, literally issue. Wealth is called marv, as in they traded the persons of men and vessels of brass for your merchandise. Pasuk found in Yecheskel. Wisdom is called midbor, in the sense of speech, dibor. It says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth, a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. The mouth proclaims the man's wisdom. Accordingly, the singer says here that none of these things is any reason to be haughty, even if one possesses all three of these qualities, for Hashem is judge. He puts down one and lifts up another. The essential thing is to devote oneself to the performance of mitzvah. To be upright in one's business dealings hence earns people's confidence, and to be beloved by all who see and hear us. Another interpretation says, a nation's prosperity does not depend on whether its leaders stem from the east or from the west or come from the wilderness. For all good and bad things stem from Hashem, who dwells in the ancient heavens of heavens. He puts down one and lifts up another in accordance with their deeds. Therefore, he is the one whom it is proper to fear. The present psukim may also be explained by means of a parable. Three drifters wagered a rich man that they could cross the ocean in the canoe. It was agreed that they should succeed, he would pay them a huge sum of money. Rash as they were, they immediately carried out their plan and started out in three canoes. They braved many storms until one day two of the canoes capsized and the men in them were barely saved. The third canoe continued on its way and made it across. When the man came to collect the prize money, however, the rich man refused to pay him. If all three canoes had made it across, said he, I would have concluded that the achievement was due to your great skill, and you would have earned the reward. But now that two of the canoes sank, the survival of the remaining canoe was a miracle. Thus the Singha says, you did not become rich because you ventured forth to the east and to the west on business. One does not become rich just by embarking on a ship to go east or west, or by crossing deserts and exploring mountains. A man is not elevated because of such things. Rather, it is that Hashem takes possessions from this one and gives to that one. As it says, for Hashem is judge. He puts down one and lifts up another. If all who ventured across oceans and deserts were wealthy, I would say that endeavor always brings success. But we see that men can do everything within their power, yet the money will go to someone who did not strive and did not toil. This shows that if Hashem wants one to be rich, he will become rich even if he stays home all the time. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Ki chois biyad Hashem v'yayin chomar molei mesech v'yager mizeh ach shemoreho yimtzu yishtu kol vishay oretz. For in the hand of Hashem there is a cup with strong foaming wine. It is full of mixture and overflows from it, and he pours out of the same. Only its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink. Having declared that Hashem puts down one and lifts up another, the singer now describes how this comes about. In the hand of Hashem there is a cup with strong wine that overflows. It is full of mixture with gall and wormwood, as found in Chumash Devarim, this pasuk, and so potent that it pours out over the side. All the wicked of the earth will drain and drink the dregs of it. Israel will not drink. Thus the Talmud says, for in the hand of Hashem there is a cup. One might suppose there are many kinds of wine. So it says, with strong wine it is full of mixture. One might suppose it is close to becoming sour. So it says, chomer, fine old wine. This represents one of the four cups of retribution that Hashem will cause the nations to drink in the future. The people of the flood generation drank of the same bitter drop as did the bubble generation. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah, Paro and his army, Sisera and all of his hordes, Nebuchadnezzar and all of his army, and Sancheriv and his legions. Some explain that Yain Chomer means murky wine, as in water, great and turbulent, a pasuk that's found in Habakkuk. This cup of wine is so full of mixture that it foams and overflows on all sides, as in like water that is poured down a deep place, a pasuk that's brought down in Micha. Some say the singer informs us that the abundant good enjoyed by the wicked in this world is merely a remnant of the good that awaits the righteous in the world to come. The good is thus likened to a cup full of wine that overflows on both sides. The wicked only partake of the overflowing foam. If that much is bestowed upon by those who transgress his will, assuredly those who fulfill his will are to partake abundantly of his good. The singer describes the cup of bitterness that awaits the wicked. It contains four ingredients. There is wine, which gets one drunk. It is not simply wine, but turbid wine, chamar, like silk. It is full and a mixture of terrible components. When the evildoer gets drunk on this wine, he will stagger all over and fall, overflows from it. Its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink, even as Israel had drunk to the dregs the deep bowl of staggering. Pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. The singer speaks about the good that Hashem bestows upon human beings, comparing it to a full cup foaming with strong wine, yet it also contains dregs. Although Hashem keeps pouring good wine from the cup, it contains dregs that the wicked drain and drink. In other words, they have only themselves to blame for drinking the dregs. They corrupted their ways and became unworthy of savoring the excellent wine. Hence it says, for in the hand of Hashem there is a cup with strong foaming wine, the good wine. Yet despite the fact that Hashem keeps supplying wine from this cup, it is full of mixture, and he pours out of the same cup. Its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink, because they are not worthy of drinking the good wine. The people of Israel have already drunk from this cup during their exile, as it says in Yeshayahu, you have drunk to the dregs the deep bowl of staggering, and the ingathering of the exiles, the wicked will drink from it. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Vani agid la'olam azamra lelehei Yaakov, but as for me, I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov. speaking for all of Israel, the singer now says, but as for me, I will not drink of this cup. I will declare forever regarding this vengeance. They will be afflicted, and I will be telling about it forever after. It will never be forgotten from the lips of my descendants. Indeed, I will do more. I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov about how the Jewish people did not give up hope in exile, and that Hashem exacted my vengeance. I address the madmen. I tell them, do not become mad, and they do not heed my words. But I will not let this stop me from continuing to declare and to affirm forever. I myself will be content with little, and I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov, who teaches the heart to be content with little, with bread to eat and clothing to wear. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. David refers to the Jewish people who in all generations sing praises. He says, when they sing these psalms, it will be reckoned as if myself were forever declaring them, as if I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov. All the horns of the wicked will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be exalted. After having turned to the wicked with admonition, do not raise the horn, do not raise your horn on high, as we learned in earlier Psukim, two horns, one against God and one against Israel. The singer says, as for me, all the horns of the wicked will I cut off. I will shear them off totally. But the horns of the righteous will be exalted, so that no kingdom other than the kingdom of Israel will remain. Thus the Torah says concerning the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the passage that's found in Daniel, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and the kingdom will not be left to another people. Another interpretation is based on the following teaching of our sages. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Yerushalayim. When our feet stand firm in war, it is in the merit of the gates of excellence in Halacha. It is because the Torah is studied. Thus the singer says here, but as for me, I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov, that is, study Torah. Then all the horns of the wicked will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be exalted. This also refers to the views of the wicked. They will perish, be proven false, but the horns of the righteous man, the ways of the Messianic king, will be exalted. He will teach understanding to all mankind. All the horns of the wicked Edom, Roman Empire, will I cut off, as it says, Apostle Yechezkel, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of the people of Israel. Then the horns of the righteous one of the world will be exalted. Our sages expound, 10 horns have God given to Israel. The horn of Avram, the horn of Yitzchak, and the horn of Moshe, the horn of prophecy, the horn of Torah, the horn of the priesthood, the horn of the Levitate, the horn of Yerushalayim, and the horn of Yosef. Some say also the horn of Israel. When the horn of Israel is raised, it will cut off the horns of the idolatrous nations. Some explain that a singer has, as if placed his words into the mouth of uprightness. It is as if uprightness is some abstract being which speaks to us about the virtue of uprightness and about the evil of wickedness. It says, suppose I, uprightness, were to move from my firm stand and topple, then I, uprightness, would rule that the earth and all its inhabitants melt, for I am the pillar upon which the earth and its inhabitants are firmly supported. I, uprightness, say to the madman not to go mad. Implanted in every soul is a core love of justice, and the evildoer is distressed by his conscientiousness. Therefore I said to the wicked, do not raise the horn, do not raise your horn on high, do not speak insolence with a haughty neck. Having spoken figuratively of a cup over which one makes a blessing, uprightness says, I will declare forever the mighty acts of God. I will sing praises to the God of Yaakov. They should proclaim uprightness and justice to the children of men. They should herald his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Uprightness says further, all the horns of the wicked will I cut off. By means of the good inclination implanted in every person, people will come to recognize the glory of Hashem and his greatness. As a result, the horns of the righteous will be exalted. The excellence and prestige of the righteous will be enhanced. Uprightness addresses these words to the wicked. for their own good, let him abandon the path of evil and return to God in sincere repentance. Chapter 76, Pasuk 1. Lamnetzeach ben Ginos Mizmor LaOsof Shir, for the conductum in the Ginos, the psalm of Asaf, a song. Asaf also composed the present psalm about the future redemption and Hashem's vengeance upon the enemies of Israel. Some say that it refers to the defeat of Sancheriv in the days of Chizkiyahu, for we find no other enemy having met his downfall in Yerushalayim. With the interpretation that the pasuk speaks of Chizkiyahu,